A Brief Look at 1888. Chapter 17. Sinless Living in Sinful Flesh Prepares Us for the Second Coming. The possibility of sinless living in sinful flesh made the 1888 message a true heart preparation for the coming of Christ. This theme is so dominant in their writings that it would be impossible to do more than cite a few examples. Growing out of their clear views of the nature of Christ and the cleansing of the sanctuary, Jones and Wagoner brought assurance that a people can honor and glorify Christ in the closing scenes of human history. It is possible for us to overcome, even as Christ overcame. The reality of Christ's identification with us is often referred to by Jones and Wagoner as the basis of God's people overcoming. He is both our substitute and our example, and he is our enabling example. We are changed into his image by beholding him. The message is a consistent, harmonious entity, and all its features are essential if its power is not to be vitiated. The contemporary charge that the 1888 message taught the heresy of perfectionism is false. Perfectionism is characterized by one or more of the following false doctrines: eradication of the sinful nature, perfect restoration of mental or physical powers, living without faith or God's enabling grace, boasting, trusting to an inherent holiness or righteousness, claiming to be saved, trusting impressions or feelings instead of the word, claiming it is impossible to sin or to fall, perfection of the flesh, Pelagianism, and the assumption that one is secure spiritually because of a purely legal justification while continuing in transgression of God's law. For an excellent discussion of perfectionism in contrast to Christian perfection, Jones and Wagoner both specifically refuted the errors of perfectionism, and their consistent teachings bear no resemblance to it. Although sinless living in mortal, sinful flesh is possible and will be demonstrated by those who prepare to meet the Lord at his coming, none will ever claim it or even be conscious of it. God's people will trust only in the merits of Christ's righteousness, appropriated by faith. It can at last be truly said that his people keep the commandments of God only because they keep the faith of Jesus. But this keeping of the commandments will not be fictitious. It will not be a mere entry in the books of heaven transferring paper assets. The saints' overcoming will be real. Christ will save his people from, not in, their sins. Satan's original charge that God has been unfair to require obedience to his law will be proven false. For this reason, Christ invites those who overcome, even as I also overcame, to sit with him on his throne, not a mere gesture, but to share with him executive authority in concluding the great controversy. The cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary will be contingent on the cleansing of the hearts of his people on earth. In fact, this is the purpose of the ministry of the high priest in the most holy apartment. He will save to the uttermost, purging the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not only will God's people overcome what is now commonly spoken of as known sin, the high priest will go down to the depths, and he will reach the bottom at last. He has got to dig down to the deep places we never dreamed of, because we cannot understand our own hearts. Your circumstances have served to bring new defects in your character to your notice, but nothing is revealed but that which was in you. His eye searches every chamber of the mind, detecting all lurking self-deception, undiscovered traits of character that must come to light, hidden defects, moral machinery of their own hearts. Only in the closing up of the great day of atonement will God's people be fully conscious of the sinfulness of their lives. The sanctuary service is a type of removing previously unconscious sin from the heart. Crucifixion of Christ is man's unconscious sin. The final judgment will disclose the hidden content of the sinner's unconscious mind. Not until that work of Christ is complete can the seal of God be placed on the foreheads of those who believe in him. They will thus overcome all sin. And this work of cleansing the sanctuary is God's work, not ours. Our job is to cooperate with him, and not resist our Lord in his office work as high priest in the most holy apartment. He will accomplish the work if we do not thwart him. Thus the 1888 message faithfully proclaimed the gospel of Christ and condemned sin in the flesh. It made no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, but made every provision for perfect victory. Doubtless this was the secret reason why it was opposed so adamantly. Never did a message sent by God arouse more determined opposition.